Will the House please come back to order? Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, in regards to Senate Bill 140, the questions I had on that have been answered. It's apparently just a combination of two bills that we've passed, and the letter of intent, as Mr. Rogers pointed out earlier, is voted upon separately, so I don't have any problem.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, just very briefly, I'm a bit surprised at Mr. Cotton's chagrin at the fact that government's using their force to force free enterprise into doing various things. It's been common practice for a long time.
Question for the House, the adoption of Free Conference Committee report on Senate Bill 140. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Metcalf?
Somebody's lost.
Are there other members? Clerk may take the final roll.
26 yeas, 6 nays.
House has adopted Free Conference Committee report on Senate Bill 140. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, lacking 27 votes, I move the effective date clause.
Is this effective date clause the same as appeared in the earlier bill?
Yes.
I think it is the same effective date clause.
I don't have. We've been doing it this year.
Okay. Just to be sure, the motion by the majority leader is the motion to adopt the effective date clause on the Free Conference Committee report, Senate Bill 140. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
28 yeas, 4 nays.
House has adopted Free Conference, the effective date clause on Free Conference Committee report for Senate Bill number 140. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adopt Free Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 222.
Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
Free Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 222, an act making special appropriations to the Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation, making an appropriation for a loan to the Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank, making an appropriation to the Fish Processing Loan Guarantee Account, and providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate? Question for the House, adoption of the Free Conference Committee report on Senate Bill number 222. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
27 yeas, 5 nays.
House adopted Free Conference Committee report on Senate Bill number 222. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Free Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 222 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
If there's no objection, the roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Free Conference Committee report, Senate Bill 222. Representative Rogers. House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm informed the House has already adopted the Finance Committee letter of intent, so my motion will be to adopt the Free Conference Committee letter of intent in addition to the action previously taken by this body. So I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Free Conference Committee letter of intent on Senate Bill 140 and Senate Bill 122 be adopted.
There is objection. Do all members have the letter of intent on their desk? Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's been some discussion of this letter of intent. The whole purpose behind this loan program for the processors is it's really not as much to help the processors as it is to help the fishermen to make sure there are going to be markets for the fishermen. And I think that's the reason that this has seen fairly widespread support in this body, is that we do want to make sure that when fishermen go fishing this summer that they will have a place to sell it. Now, occasionally what happens, in a couple of areas of the state, there is a bargaining between groups of fishermen and the processors. And we have on the statute right now, 1610-280, which says when there's a price dispute between the processors and the fishermen, and at least one-third of the commercial fishermen appeal to the Department of Labor, then the Department of Labor intervenes as a mediator of the dispute. And what this letter of intent would do is to say if that appeal has happened between the fishermen and the processors, that the processors, we wouldn't be financing the processors until that dispute is settled. And the reason for this letter of intent is our intent is that fishermen who are fishing have a place to market those fish. And if we make loans to processors who aren't in agreement with the fishermen, we're not helping create that market. And I think that this is consistent with the two bills that were just adopted by the committee.
Representative Malone.
Mr. Speaker, I would move and ask for a division of the question between paragraphs 1 and 2 of the letter of intent. Paragraph 1 of the letter is very similar to the letter of intent as far as its purpose goes. It was adopted by the House originally. Paragraph 2 is an entirely new approach, and I would ask for a division of the question between paragraphs 1 and 2 of the letter of intent of the Free Conference Committee substitutes on 140, Senate Bills 140 and 222.
At the request of Representative Malone, the letter of intent motion to adopt will be divided. First motion for the body will be the motion to adopt the first half of the letter of intent. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
31 yeas, 1 nay.
House has adopted the first portion of the Free Conference Committee letter of intent. Motion now before the body would be the motion to adopt the second half of the letter of intent. Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to rise in opposition to accepting the second part of the letter of intent. I am somewhat surprised by Representative Rogers' comment that this is primarily for the benefit of the fishermen. I know that the fishermen benefit, and that of course is all right, but I thought processors hired people, and I thought we were trying to keep these processors floating not only to accommodate a place for the fishermen to sell his catch, but also because there's a lot of people out there, local residents in some of these communities, that are depending to some extent on employment. Of course, that's just an interesting point that I want to bring up. But I primarily object to adoption of the second paragraph because I think we are sticking our nose, so to speak, into an area where the state has no business. And some will probably rise and say we probably have done that already. But I think we're going too far when we tie strings to a loan to the extent that we intervene or interfere with the normal negotiation process, whether it be between purchaser and seller or labor negotiations or whatever.
Representative Anderson. House, please stand at ease. Question before the House is the motion to adopt the second half of the letter of intent on pre-conference committee report. Representative Malone.
Mr. Speaker, since this is a new procedure sort of recommended by the free conference committee, get an elaboration of how paragraph 2 is intended to work.
Will it be the Department of Labor or who make or Department of Fish and Game rather that makes a determination as to whether this paragraph would be effective as far as making a decision on financing processors or how it will actually work in application?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Well, I'll try to explain that. Okay. As I understand it, 30 days before an actual opening of a fishing season, there is a price dispute between processors and fishermen that if 30% of the fishermen petition the Department of Labor, the Department of Labor is allowed to go in and to try to mediate the dispute and try to come to some kind of an agreement. As the second paragraph here indicates that there is a tie-in between price disputes and the allocation of funds to those processors who do not have a price agreement. There's a difference between various kinds of fishermen, I don't think not just in Bristol Bay, but other parts of the state as well, but I can speak somewhat about Bristol Bay. There are fishermen who are represented by the Western Alaska Cooperative Marketing Association and the Alaska Independent Fishermen's Marketing Association, two organizations that represent fishermen. And those fish organizations, the Western Alaska represents Alaskan resident fishermen and AIFMA represents some Alaskan residents and some non-Alaskan residents. And as I understand it, those organizations negotiate primarily with outside controlled fishing industries. And if a price dispute were to continue and there was no agreement, there would be no tie-in between the money that was that is being appropriated and the letter of intent and these bills, because this money that we're talking about here is destined for Alaskan-based and Alaskan-owned processors. And a lot of those Alaskan-based and Alaskan-owned processors, or most of them, do deal directly with Alaskan resident fishermen, the people that we're trying to help. It's somewhat unclear on what the intent of the second paragraph is and how it is intended to function in accordance with existing procedure for those organizations that negotiate on behalf of fishermen and calling in the Department of Labor. And the only thing that I can recommend to the body is that there's obviously in the minds of some people the need to adopt this language so that those fishermen who are waiting for a market to appear that this would help it. However, I'm somewhat at a loss to explain how this would expedite that kind of activity. My problem is with about the 1, 2, 3, 4th line of the second paragraph is, should a price dispute develop between a processor and fishermen, it is the intent of the legislature that financing to that process should cease until such time as the dispute is settled. The problem we're having right now, of course, is the timeliness of the passage of this bill, because if there is a price dispute developed and no money was forthcoming, those processors couldn't get into the business of preparing themselves for the season. The season would have passed by, and those fishermen who were trying to help wouldn't have a market. And there would be absolutely no way that we could intervene on their behalf because we're so late at this point. Mr. Speaker, I'm going to vote in favor of the adoption of that portion of the letter of intent because I suspect that there is something beyond which I've been able to explain to the body here operating as a unrecognized need, but I would hope that members would vote yea in the adoption of the second half of the letter of intent.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Majority Leader touched on the concern that I also share as far as the operation of paragraph 2 goes. Leaving aside the philosophical and ethical questions or whether the state should sledgehammer somebody into an agreement, is that if there isn't an agreement, we're talking about just a few weeks to get the financing and other things in place in some cases. If that doesn't happen, there may be an agreement reached, but maybe in some cases it's going to be too late to provide the market for the fishermen. So I really believe that Section 2 of the bill, although it's well-intended, is not well-advised, and I'd recommend the members not to approve it.
Representative Guy.
I thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this portion of the letter of intent. Mr. Speaker, it's simply because I've had some experiences where our rural fishermen had to negotiate for fish prices and have to just go along on a meager amount of funding, which he just may happen to have, while the processor or purchaser might have a lot more than they do, and then therefore because of that they can hold out the negotiations and the deliberations for a longer length of time and force those people, those people that have meager funding to submit to them.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I haven't had much time to think about this, but a question would be, would the fishermen and the processors have to have an agreement in place before the processor would be eligible for these processing loans? Or suppose they got a loan and then a dispute occurred, what sort of situation would that bring about?
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, it was the intent that this apply only to the physical transfer of money, that loan documents could be processed and so on, but just that the financing would cease, that is, money transfers from CFAB or the Renewable Resources Corporation to the processor would cease in the event that a price dispute, there were a price dispute, and there were a petition by at least one-third of the registered commercial fishermen in that area.
Question for the House is the motion to adopt the second half of the letter of intent conference committee report, Senate Bill 140 and Senate Bill 222. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
15 yeas, 19 nays.
Motion to adopt the second half of the letter of intent has failed. Representative Anderson. House Police Entities. The House, please come back to order. One more item under unfinished business. House Bill 208 does have a new fiscal note. It is in the Rules Committee. It will be sent back to the Finance Committee. It's a bill relating to the investment of pension funds. Is that the request of the Rules Chairman? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, if there's no other business, I move the House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. The House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.